listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The details are, they're a little fuzzy. For one, Jacob Nix. Told police he was trying to enter his own home through a doggy door. But his home doesn't have a doggy door. And then the homeowner kicks him in the face and tases him for his troubles.
In the face!
The guy's friend has to drag him out backwards through the doggy door, probably after he hears his friend screaming. Law enforcement indicates that he was under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
Drugs are bad.
I feel like this should be an episode of Cops. Tried to enter my own home through a doggy door, even though my own home does not have a doggy door.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A bit of a walk down memory lane. Oh, what just happened? The band was done. They only played to a certain minute, and then the money ran out, and the jukebox ended, and that was it.
Botch ran out of money.
I've never heard that happen before. Anyway. That is a bit of a walk down memory lane. That was a story that, I actually predated producer Jay. That goes back maybe 5 or 6 years. And we laughed so hard. Think that was during Chris and Dave and their tenure behind the double pane glass. We found this story where a dude had had gotten drunk or high or both and had tried to enter what he thought was his home through a doggy door, and then he got stuck. And so the homeowner of the home that he thought was his tased him as he got stuck. I don't think I have a taser, but I do have pepper spray. So yeah, I'd be using my pepper spray. Anyway, he gets hauled away by the cops, and the cops ask him why he was trying to go into that home. And he said, that was my house. Even though his house doesn't actually have a doggy door, but that didn't seem to matter. Apparently, from the time he left his house that night until the time he tried to re-enter, he thought someone had installed a doggy door. All right, here's your sign. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us as we say sayonara July. Wowzers. Goodbye, Julio. And we head forward into August, which seems fast. I know there's still a significant number of days in the summer, so no one's rushing summer. But August always signifies something, I think, to teachers. I have a lot of friends who are teachers in Texas and other parts of the South. They're already back in school this week and next week. So meaning the teachers themselves are getting their classrooms ready and they're decorating and they're meeting. Well, they're going through training and soon we'll be meeting students and parents. Comes up next week. There's a lot of places in the country where they start in early August. But then, even without that, I mean, talking sports world, the time that we have left in this month of August before college football and NFL kick off, I need to milk every last bit of enjoyment out of it, because once football is here, my life is not my own. My poor Hubs, he's in for it, because he's only really been with me during end of the NFL regular season and then the playoffs, which was about 7 weeks. But he doesn't really get what it's like every single Sunday to work 16-hour shifts from the time the first games kick off, and that's even without the London and German games, until the Monday morning when we get off the air. It's a long haul. So football seems to run my life. And I love it. It's great for business, but I kind of dread that point at which my work weeks become 6.5 days. Beware, Manny, if you're interested in doing this job, because that's what happens during football season. You better be ready to lock in.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, right. Two thumbs up. So already getting your answers. I'm enjoying the Olympics. I'm not going to get to football until we absolutely have to, but it'll be here soon enough. Enjoying some of your early answers in response to my question. I'm going to have you check out the GIF yourself. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to GIF it away. So you can check it yourself. A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, because I am definitely jealous of Katie Ledecky and other world-class athletes. They get to eat a lot, and I love food. But also, they don't have to worry about counting calories and desserts. Now, granted, most of these athletes that are world-class probably don't eat a ton of desserts. Like, for instance, donuts isn't going to help you get better at your career, or your chosen career, if you're an athlete. But you could eat a donut a week, and it would be no big thing. Katie Ledecky can eat chocolate every day if she wants to. And it'll get burned off in the pool. I am definitely jealous of that part. Because when I'm into serious training for the half marathon, and I'm getting close, it's 2 months away now, I'll start to amp up the training, although in the heat and humidity is no fun. But you do sweat and burn more calories. So I enjoy eating desserts after training runs. That is one of the things I really look forward to. So check it out and let me know what treat you would indulge in every day if you burned as many calories as the queen of the pool, Katie Ledecky. Some of your answers on Facebook are amazing. I hadn't even thought about cannoli cake.
Oh.
Yeah, but Andy says being Italian, it has to be cannoli cake or cannolis. And he sends pictures of both, jerk. Double chocolate fudge brownies topped with ice cream and hot fudge.
Oh my goodness.
That's Mike's answer. Yeah, you better be Katie Ledecky and then some. Elliot, Boston cream donut, still warm from the oven with a cold glass of milk.
Attaboy, Elliot.
I did 13 miles on the stationary bike on Wednesday, and for my reward, I got to eat, you're going to laugh, but I had it left over from Easter. My husband bought me 2 Cadbury cream eggs, and so I had a Cadbury cream egg with, it was fine, it was still wrapped up, Cadbury cream egg with a glass of milk, and it was amazing. And we actually engaged in this discussion, the Hubs and I said to him, if you had to give up either chocolate or milk for the rest of your life, what would you do? Now, that's a different question. And it's hard for me because those are the two things I love most. I love milk and I love chocolate.
What's your take on these different iterations of milk nowadays?
Well, in my coffee, in order to save calories, I use oat milk. I actually don't mind the flavor. And now and then when we're out of milk, like for instance, I'm going to the store on Thursday morning after work, we're out of milk. So at times when I have to, if forced to, I will use almond milk in my oatmeal. But otherwise, I can't drink it straight. It's not milk. You can't milk an almond. That's not how it works. Anyway, so I will use them in coffee just to save calories. And I do like the taste of oat milk in coffee, but otherwise, I am a cow's milk girl. I'm a cow milk girl. That's what they're good at. And if you don't milk dairy cows, their udders would burst. We're helping them out.
Oh, that's how that works?
You don't think so?
I mean,
have you ever seen a cow with a full udder?
Poor things. No, I have been a city boy my entire life.
Oh, you're missing out. But there is a fun little tool called YouTube.
I'm oblivious.
Gregory goes with cheesecake and then gives me the 100 emoji. I love it. Oh, the cannoli cake. You're going to have to check out the cannoli cake. Jerome says, my father-in-law's homemade German chocolate cake. Every day, it's that good. Oh, yeah. And then Linda on Facebook, strawberry shortcake with whipped cream. Oh, whipped cream. It's so good. It's just so good, especially if it's fresh. It's brand new. So, yeah, check out the GIF. Proud of myself. Jealous of Katie Ledecky, but proud of myself. You never know what might happen when you give me command of the social media. Chuck on Twix goes with Popeye's biscuits. So he's not going with a sweet. He's going, oh, biscuits are so good, dude. For instance, if you could have every single day, and this is something that if I didn't love chocolate so much, I would want to have a McDonald's biscuit, flaky biscuit, with sausage and egg. So a sausage, egg, and biscuit with extra salt. Oh, so good. So good. It's not good for me when I'm going to the grocery store in 3.5 hours. Not good. This is not a good idea. Why are we engaging in this food discussion?
I also do believe the McDonald's right around the corner will be opening.
Nope.
Not too long
after. Don't know where it is. Have no idea what you're talking about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you want to answer the question on air, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. But yeah, this is fun, actually. This is an organic one. I didn't even pre-plan this. I suppose that after a day's work, the U.S. men's basketball team also could indulge in some sweet treats.
Chance to get this back to 19 or 20.
Uh-huh.
White, tight off the screen, lob it up. Adebayo soaring through the air. Money inside, a rare miss for Curry. Oh, Davis didn't even look at it. Forced the turnover, lob it up.
That's nice.
Tatum flipping home.
That's how you get your first two right there.
Now, miscommunication with Durant. Bounce it. Davis! Skyscraper! Big time flush from Davis.
Another electric crowd there in the arena for Team USA versus South Sudan. Remember, they had just engaged in an exhibition match against Sudan going back to, I think it was Abu Dhabi when they played. And it required a LeBron James type of fourth quarter burst for them to be able to avoid the upset. Well, this one, not so much. And I'm not sure it matters who Steve Kerr puts in the starting lineup. He did put Jason Tatum out there as a starter. We also saw Tyrese Halliburton get into the game. We did not see Joel Embiid, and it didn't look as though Joel ever expected to get in the game. If you were watching it, he seemed like he was pretty comfortable there on the bench. And though he did have his uniform on, I don't recall that he ever took his warm-ups off. Not that I saw, anyway. And so I don't know that he expected to get in the game. Remember, Steve Kerr had said to Jason Tatum before their opener that minutes could be limited because Kevin Durant had been cleared to play. Well, Tatum got the start in this one. Anthony Davis got the start in this one instead of Joel Embiid. And what we got, and instead of Drew Holiday too. So they swapped Celtics starters, even though they don't play the same position. But it was Tatum and LeBron and Anthony Davis and Devin Booker and Steph Curry. And yeah, the most minutes played by any one guy was 22. Booker and Kevin Durant off the bench had 22 minutes. Bam Adebayo had a terrific game. I would say partly because most of his buckets were after alley-oop passes from his teammates or passes within 2-3 feet of the rim. So he was taking high percentage shots. He had 18 points and 7 rebounds, a couple of block shots in there. So I guess you could say he was the star, but this really was a team effort. And within the second quarter, they had already built a 20-point lead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Actually, come to think of it, it's kind of an odd start, a pretty low-scoring start against South Sudan. And they've got some real athletes on their team. It was a lot of fun to see them push back at the U.S. in the beginning. So the U.S. started out with a 6-0 lead. I think 4 minutes had gone by, and it was still 6-0. It was odd. And then 7 straight points for South Sudan. And at that juncture, maybe the Americans kind of realized, all right, this, you know, enough is enough. And they just have so much depth to be able to bring everyone off the bench except for Joel Embiid. I don't know. It's just a little bit weird. Tyrese Halliburton had 8 minutes, so he was able to score a couple of triples, which is cool for him. Derek White had a 3-for-3 shooting line from beyond the arc. Drew Holiday was one of the last to come off the bench, so he goes from starter to deep end of the bench. Tatum goes from not playing to being out there as a starter. So Steve Kerr has an embarrassment of riches and really can do whatever he wants. But off the bench for Bam, he has 18 points, 7 rebounds, and this was a game that was really never in doubt.
Just coming out here with a lot of energy. We knew they were going to play hard. You know, we played them before. They played us tough, and, you know, we expected that. You know, I feel like we're everybody's home run. So for us, man, it's going out there playing our best ability, man. We got some of the greatest talents in the world. So just for us to go out there and compete and execute.
That's true. And I've decided that what I really want to see is France versus the U.S. Can you imagine the uproar inside the arena, first of all? Second of all, with Victor Wembanyama against the front line for Team USA, Bam comes off the bench. But they also have a Kevin Durant who stands 6'10", 6'11". Certainly LeBron, he can push anybody around. And that's one thing that stood out is that there is no one on the international stage and very few people on the NBA stage who can stand in the way of the load that is LeBron James. As I tell you, often he's a point guard trapped in a tight end's body. This is LeBron James, and he handles the ball with skill and force and power and finesse. And so when you put him against some of these international guys, and my goodness, he might outweigh some of them by 60, 70 pounds. What in the world are they supposed to do? Nothing. Live to fight another trip down the court. I don't know why I have a hiccup. So LeBron plays 21 minutes. He has a dozen points and 7 rebounds and 5 assists, but also had 6 turnovers. So they were a little pesky. They were swatting the ball away. But 2-0 now for the United States, while South Sudan, coming off its first ever Olympic basketball win, drops this one and is now 1-1. So we'll get to some of the other team sports, like women's soccer for both the U.S. and Canada, a spot in the knockout stage of the quarterfinals. And also, the women's volleyball team managed to get a victory after losing its opener. Remember, they are the defending gold medalists. Actually watching live volleyball now on USA, this is men's, Germany and Australia. So the games are already underway, and considering the heat wave that they've been getting the last couple days, it's good. I would think that if you're some of these teams that have to play outside, you are thrilled to be out there early. It's not that early. It's 9:17 in Paris on Thursday morning, August 1st. Cray. And so we're watching the volleyball unfold. We'll see whether or not they start another event in the River Seine this morning, because they did finish the women's triathlon yesterday and had the men's. I think they had the men's as well, actually. So able to get that the river under control and get some people in the river. So yeah, another discussion at our house. Would you care if there was poo in the river or fecal matter in the river? Now, see, I don't care. If I've trained for the triathlon, I couldn't give a crap what's in the river unless it's going to bite me. And I wouldn't think that was the case. Do you want to be swallowing it and drinking it? Well, hell no. But at the same time, just suck it up and get it over with and take a shower after. It's not like you aren't going to be disgusting when you have to bike and then run as well. And maybe it evaporates off of you when you're outside doing the biking and the running. I'm sorry, poo is, it's not that I love poo or touching it, but when you have dogs or kids or, I don't know, it's just a part of life. So I guess you get out of the water and shake it off and like Taylor Swift would say, and move on. Manny, come on, you would actually give up on your Olympic dreams because of a little fecal matter in the river? What are the chances? I mean, come on, the fish poo, do they not?
I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist.
No.
I don't.
Obviously, fish go to the bathroom. Have you never seen like fish in a tank? They poo.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't been around fish at all.
Yeah, of course they do. They poo. It's more like a string, but they do it. Well, depending upon the size of the fish. So, of course, have you never been in a pool where I'm no doubt little kids pee?
Oh, yeah. I was a camp counselor once.
Right. So it's not as though it's never happened before.
No, you're right. There's definitely been moments where fecal matter has been in the pool.
Right.
We're at work. I mean, but we expeditiously all get out.
Of course.
That's the thing.
Again, it's not like you want to, but if you're swimming in a river, then there are chances that you're going to be encountering bacteria.
You know what you signed up for if you signed up for the triathlon. You know that it's not going to be in a pool. So, I mean, I guess I would just shut my mouth and not drink the water. But, I mean, well, I'm not happy about it.
If you're swimming freestyle, a lot of times the water will get splashed into your mouth.
Backstroke the entire day. Backstroke. I don't care about my personal time now.
I was
going
to say, even if you got left behind, backstroke the whole way. All right, more of your answers coming in. Jealous of Katie Ledecky, we are, because she can eat whatever she wants. If you burned as many calories as she does, what's the one treat you would indulge in every day? I love the variety. Jean on Facebook goes with crab legs. Oh, in butter. How about lobster? Lobster and butter. Or pancakes with pure New Hampshire maple syrup every day. French toast? Come on.
I love how you went from crab legs with butter to French toast.
Well, because it also has good butter. Let's see. Mike says Texas Roadhouse bread and butter.
Oh, yes. Mike's got it going.
Chris says most definitely Foster Freeze chocolate dipped cones. Ooh, brownies is the choice of Sherry. Bear says in Fraser, Michigan is the Dairy Maid. They have a large upside down banana split. You have not experienced a banana split until you've had an upside down banana split. All right.
Fraser, Michigan it is.
Sounds delicious. Oh, goodness. Bread and biscuits. I'm telling you, I might have to skip the grocery store in a few hours because this is not good for me. You know, it's a really bad idea to go when you're hungry, but also a really bad idea to go when you've had such a powerful run of suggestions. All right, let's focus on something else. We can do this. We can focus on baseball. It's coming up next. The Padres, the hottest team in the game right now, but I would say the Yankees are making their case for best team in the American League again.
Ow.
In your honor, John Sterling, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's the 2-1, swung on, hit in the air, deep to left field. Teoscar Hernandez back towards the corner, looking up, gonna go! First balcony, Western medal. And Luis Camposano, who had an RBI single in the second, adds a home run here in the fourth.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Clayton Kershaw making his second start of the season, did not get out of the fourth inning. Not only was the defense spotty behind him, but the Padres were able to hit him pretty hard. So he gave up 7 runs, 3 of which were earned, and that includes the home run by the Padres. And they were able to beat the Dodgers 8-1, closing the gap in the National League West. In fact, had a 4 spot in the second and then 3 more in the fourth before Kershaw was chased. And this is the first time in his entire regular season career, more than 420 regular season starts, that he has not recorded a strikeout.
There's a lot of things I was missing. Just wasn't executing, wasn't throwing really anything what I wanted to, where I wanted to. So, frustrating overall. But I'll just get back out on the next one.
Luis Camposano had that home run off of Clayton Kershaw, but also goes 2-for-4, couple of RBI, and Padres are the hottest team in baseball right now, winning 9 of their last 10. And so that West Division looks a little bit different, though we know the Dodgers traded for a new starter. We'd heard not just from Mari Brown, who joined us on our last show in the wake of the trade deadline, but the other posts that were out there, Ken Rosenthal and different insiders, that the Yankees passed on Jack Flaherty and that trade because of his back issues. Now, Brian Cashman tells a bit of a different story, but the reports out there is there's some concern about his back, and so the medicals gave the Yankees pause. Well, Flaherty isn't exactly sure what that's about and was talking to the media now as a Dodger on Wednesday.
All I know is I feel great. Like, I felt great since we got back from the break, or and even right before that. Like, I felt great and have just been ready to pitch and been pretty anxious about, like, you know, just wanting to get out there again. I pitched a week ago and, getting scratched. Like, I understand it's part of it, and I'm just looking forward to taking them out again.
So what about it, Brian Cashman? What happened in the deal for Jack Flaherty that did not get consummated?
I think Jack Flaherty is an exceptional starter, and I had difficulty matching up with
the Tigers on Jack Flaherty. I certainly would love to have him as a choice for us, as well as anybody else that would potentially be an upgrade on our rotation. So all I can speak to is that, unfortunately, you get a lot of different reports going out there. And at the end of the day, I would have brought Jack Flaherty in if I could have matched up. And I had difficulty matching up, and that was the reason I don't have him. So simple as that.
I'm assuming what he means is people, players, personnel, money, that kind of stuff. Although money, that's really only an NBA thing. So when he says matching up, I'm assuming he means giving the Tigers what they wanted in return. Yeah, so Brian Cashman is shrugging off the medical reports, and Flaherty and the Dodgers, they're not giving much credence to it either. And what about being with the Dodgers now? You go from Detroit to Los Angeles, and Flaherty had heard the rumors. He admits that. What about being in a Dodgers uniform?
It's hard to hope I want to hope for this or hope for that. It's part of the business of the game, and you kind of end up where you end up. But I'm happy to be here, stoked to be here, stoked to be a part of this team.
He's going to start on Saturday.
Okay.
So we're excited. I know he's chomping at the bit. He hasn't pitched in a while, so it's just nice to get him here, get a side session in, meet the coaches, and kind of get his feet under him before he makes that first start for us.
So Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Dodgers coming up on Saturday, and certainly the rotation has been the weak point for the Dodgers this season. We'll see whether or not he's able to get out there and make an immediate impact. He was probably the best starter, top flight starter available in the market, and nearly went to New York, instead ends up with the Dodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking NL West, how about a gem for one Logan Webb?
One ball and two strikes with two down, runner at first. Webb to the plate. Ground ball to second. Couple of high hops. Wisely over to first. And Logan Webb with a complete game shutout to beat the Oakland Athletics. And for Webb, anything other than a shutout was not going to get it done. So Webb with his third career complete game and his second shutout.
Sorry, I was caught off guard there. in the middle of his sentence, I left me speechless. I do love John Miller, though, on the Giants radio network. And yeah, this was fantastic from Logan Webb. 9 full innings pitched, allows just 5 hits, no runs, of course, and really didn't have any margin for error because the Giants were only able to muster 1 run themselves on a sac fly to beat the Oakland A's. Vegas A's. Every now and then I think about Vegas A's, Vegas Raiders. I guess they'll be the Sacramento A's for a couple of years. Or are they still going to be called the Oakland A's? The Bay Area A's? I don't know.
The Bays.
The Bays.
Honestly, can we just put them in AAA for a few years? Just pretend like they don't exist.
Well, it's kind of where they're headed in terms of venue.
Pretend they don't exist.
This reminds me.
This feels like blasphemy.
And there are a lot of people out there. Multiple people inside baseball have told me, they, including someone who works with the A's, and I will not identify, but have told me that they would be stunned if this deal actually went through because of the various roadblocks and obstacles, not to mention the money. There are a lot of people out there that don't think it's ever going to happen. Although I think because Major League Baseball so desperately wants it to happen, it likely is at some point.
That's
they're
the
gonna
part.
They're going to shove it through whether they want to or not.
That's the part, because Major League Baseball would love to see the A's go to Vegas. So they'll get every opportunity and every greased wheel, if you will, to be able to push them into Vegas. They want it so bad.
Okay, so back to the Giants, just because we didn't spotlight Logan Webb enough. This was amazing. Throws just 106 pitches, strikes out 6, only a single walk, and as I say, scatters 5 hits over those 9 innings. So really impressive from Logan. Now, they are still below .500. However, with the Dodgers and Padres doing battle this week, and the Diamondbacks on a bit of a hot streak as well, the race has tightened a bit. As I say, Giants are still below .500, but could they use this opportunity as the teams ahead of them are reeling the Dodgers back in just for fun, let's check the wild card, because I feel like in the National League, all but two teams are involved in the wild
card. That's what it is.
All right, so here we go. Let's take the Nationals out of the equation, because they're nine games back and there's six teams ahead of them. Theoretically, the Cubs are still involved, but Cubs and Reds are below 500, so we'll take them out as well. Giants are two games below that Mendoza line. They're 4.5 out of that third wild card, and there's only three teams ahead of them. So it's actually not impossible. It's fairly feasible. But if you're a Giants fan and you're hopeful, how about being a Pirates fan? Above 500, you're only 2.5 out of that third wild card. The Cardinals are ahead of you as well. The Mets, which is crazy, the turnaround they've had in the last 2 months. I think, though, the NL Central might even be a better option for the Pirates if they could just surge. Could you imagine Paul Skeens? Please, can we have Paul Skeens in the postseason? I'm here for that. What do we have to do to make that happen?
It's definitely a possibility, and they added some at the trade deadline as well. But this is part of the reason why, and I've been on this for a while, talking about Major League Baseball. You want to open up and have more teams make the playoffs, so be it. You want to have teams that are under 500 that are still alive in August, I'm okay. You can argue to the cows come home whether that's good or bad. But what you cannot do is have the trade deadline in July and have every team in the National League still in it. They don't know what the hell to do.
It is really funny, actually.
It's the stupidest thing.
I know, but it's also humorous. It's baseball created this, so I have no sympathy for Rob Manfred and his henchmen.
Do you have any people in PR? Do you realize that it's good for your sport when people discuss your sport? When do they like to talk about it? When there is trade deadlines, when there's talking about players on the move to go to different places to affect the postseason. You now make Major League Baseball irrelevant. For 2 months going into the playoffs. Why?
Marco for president.
Why?
Now, see, I don't love the third wild cards. I don't really like it in the NFL. I don't love it in baseball either. It feels bloated to me. Basketball with this stupid gimmicky 7-10 tournament.
Fine.
It's all about the money, though, you know, because they make money on playoff games when they land on TV.
Which is why, we can argue whether it's good or not. That's fine. But it is. So now that you know you opened up to all these wildcard teams, you have to know logic tells you more teams will be involved, which is what you want. You want more market feel like they have a chance at the playoffs later into the season. I'm with you. I see the plan. And then you took the trade deadline and made it earlier. Why?
Yeah,
and you can say, well, it was always July. Well, but they had a waiver deadline that was the end of August. They got rid of that. So there are no trades that could possibly happen between now and the playoffs. Why would you do that? That's why teams sold and bought. I don't know. I think we're in it. We're only four games out, but we're six games under 500. We'll buy this player, but sell this one because we're hedging our bets. It's the stupidest thing. Nobody knows what to do.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. All right, in order to bring your heart rate down, how do you feel about cannoli cake?
I like it.
All right, because we have an Italian who's answering on our Facebook page that if he burned as many calories as Katie Ledecky, that every day he would eat cannoli cake. And in lieu of cannoli cake, he would eat just plain cannolis.
You know what's actually really good? I don't know if this is every place, but I've seen it in supermarkets and I've seen it in bakeries.
Oh, no, don't tell me supermarket. I'm going grocery shopping in a few hours.
Instead of the actual cannoli itself, what they do is it's almost like a big giant platter where it's all the cannolis, like the shell.
And cream.
But the cream's in the middle. So it's just the shell and the outside. So it's almost
do
like
you dip
it's
it?
A dip.
It's like a chips and dip?
But it's the cannoli shell, and you dip it into the cannoli filling in the middle. And you put it in the middle like it's a, I don't know, it's like Tostitos and salsa.
The only thing better would be a fondue tower made out of cannoli cream. Could you imagine?
That's some good stuff.
Also,
somebody brought it to my house one time. They were kind of it was a little present. And yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? And they showed it. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this.
Just between you and me, I'm not looking at Manny right now. I'm not exactly sure why all of a sudden the top button of the uniform, he's wearing a uniform, why the top button of his jersey is open and we're seeing chest hair. Manny, that's not...
All right. You probably, that's one button too far. But I don't know if I would call it a uniform. I think he's got the jersey
on. It's a jersey. Okay.
Right. Well, but he's not, you know, he doesn't have the pants on. He's not walking around like in his pajamas.
I mean,
with a belt.
I can't actually see whether or not he has pants on. I hope he has pants on. But
actual pants. They're not uniform.
Actual pants.
I'm just,
okay.
I'm just trying to clarify
saying,
that
all
Manny's
of a
not walking around
I
in cleats.
Over and the top half of Manny's jersey is wide open. What's happening in there, Manny? You look disheveled.
I look like a baseball player.
Long night?
No. Baseball players do not wear the top two buttons of their jerseys open.
You leave the top one open, no problem. The second one, a little too far. The jerseys, the buttons are a little spaced.
If Marco says that, then far. You know.
Oh, yeah, Marco.
I'm definitely GQ.
GQ, that's what I was going to say.
But I will say this.
Odyssey stylist over here.
If there's any Yankee fans in the house or listening, Luke Voit. Think Luke Voit. Like, it's just one button too many. And
we all remember 2020. He raked that.
Yeah, bit much. It's a bit much.
All right, I'm just gonna focus on the computer in front of me. I did just get a text from Paris, and our friend Steve Futterman wants to know in around 90 minutes, right? So yes, I have to respond to him. We think we've set up the Zoom call. It only took 4 days. 4 days for someone in our company to get to the bottom of how we would connect on a Zoom call to Paris. Not like they don't do Zoom calls every single day during other shows. Get this, Marco. No one would share the login information. No one. Just ask Manny. Manny tried talking to I don't know how many people in the company, and the guy who had the login would not share it. He kept sending him to someone else.
For
what are we, like,
call?
First graders, and we won't share our toys in the nursery? I mean, in the classroom?
I've done Zoom calls. I'm not that bright. I didn't realize it was that difficult.
We had to have a login that coincided with the equipment, and no one would pass out over the login until, thankfully, Pete got to the bottom of it. Thank you, Pete. Manny's face says it all. He knows. He spent days trying to track this thing down. Look how depressed he looks. Also, outed him on his jersey.
And now you know why the jersey button's open.
That's right.
Manny's had a rough few days, apparently. Zoom has sent him spiraling.
But think about all the treats that you could eat if you were Katie Ledecky. That should help.
Yeah, but I ain't. That's the thing.
Telling you, man. Canola and shells.
I'll definitely have to check those out in the supermarket. Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, coming up, wait until you hear the viewership numbers on TV for Simone Biles and Suni Lee and Team USA and their gold medal win. It's a little bit like Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. Well, actually, more like Caitlin Clark in Iowa. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. Who cannoli cream? And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can't care what people think. No matter what people say to you, it can't change you. You can't allow it to change you. How about the guy who said to me, "You should give me some more respect. I am the guest."
Hey, I am the guest on the show, so show me a little bit of respect.
No, bye, buddy. See ya.
Haters gonna hate.
You can embarrass yourself in front of the entire country. I have no trouble with that. We get a lot of people who hate Amy Lawrence. Shake it off, because you can't please everybody.
Was not as open-minded, but I've been listening to you and giving time before I called in, and I'd like to say, you doing your own thing. There's gonna be a bunch of haters. Don't worry about what they're saying. I think you're doing a great job. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake,
shake it off. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
Gotta shake it off. You gotta shake it off. Even if it's E. coli or fecal matter in the River Seine, as you get ready to jump in, do your triathlon swim. It's going to burn off by the time you bike and run. I don't see what the big deal is. As Ben echoed on our Facebook page, poo happens. Or remember the kids' book? Everybody poops. It's just it's a thing. So whatevs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I suppose after you've cleaned either a dog or cat's rear end, or maybe you own horses or cows and there's poo everywhere, you step. Or if you are a parent, an auntie, a grandparent, you've changed diapers. I mean, inevitably, you're going to get it on yourself at some point. Just try not to swallow it while you're in the River Seine. And if you do, I don't know. Bleach seems to work. Just kidding. I'm kidding. That's a joke. And not even that funny. So I'm being snarky. But remember how people thought that they could drink bleach and somehow they would be immune from COVID? How dumb some of the things that were put out there. How dumb. How just, that seems like forever ago.
2020 was a wild year.
Oh, man. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Online at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. I love, love, love your answers. This is maybe my favorite question of all time. Next to favorite dog breed. If you burned as many calories as Katie Ledecky on a daily basis, what treat would you eat on a daily basis? Are you ready? Our friend Nohemi, Godiva chocolates and Girl Scout cookies. Now see if it's the coconut ones. What are those coconut ones called?
Samosas.
Samoas. Samoas.
Samoas, right, yeah. Yikes. Samosas are...
That was a cross between Samoa and mimosa. Oops. Well, nobody said beer yet. I'm kind of surprised. There's a lot of people out there that if they could get away with it, they would drink a lot more beer. If you could go beer, but no beer belly, don't you think a lot more people would drink it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why people try to drink things like whiskey. Miller Lite. Oh, well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Miller Lite too.
Oops. Nohemi with Godiva chocolates and Girl Scout cookies. That's amazing. And then a lot of answers on our Facebook page. I feel like Facebook, as much as it's the devil, you all are my people, the way that you enjoy your food. So we'll get to more of those answers. Wanted to pass this along, though. If you haven't seen the numbers, this is afternoon, you guys. And I know it's summertime, but the afternoon coverage of the women's gymnastics team finale that featured the Americans recapturing gold, the redemption tour, right? The Golden Girls is what Simone Biles says is really their nickname. So Simone and Suni Lee and Jade Carey and Jordan Chiles and Hesley Rivera, they win gold while 12.7 million viewers watched in the afternoon. It was either on NBC or on Peacock. Actually, my mom watched it on Peacock and she was thrilled. One of NBC's most watched daytime Olympic broadcasts ever, as you can imagine. And through 5 days on TV, and that includes the opening ceremonies, NBC's numbers are up 79% compared with the 20 games, which were actually in 21 in Tokyo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.